to provide the food for free. Like so many businesses, I had started out trying to fulfill a need, and along the way had spotted an opportunity to make money. In the end, I forgot to enter my own team, so I refereed the matches, and that day I went home with £1,200. The thing about me is that I don't ask for permission to do anything. I didn't tell the headmistress I was going to charge for entry, probably because I knew she would say no. These days, my business customizes luxury mobile phones, and we have just produced a diamond-encrusted Motorola and Apple iPhone. I have a lot of advisors now, and my lawyer asked if I'd got permission from the mobile manufacturers to luxurify their phones. Of course I hadn't. If I had gone to them, they would have said no, because it's the easiest answer to give. And if they had a problem with it after I had customized their phone, they could complain afterwards. One of the mobile manufacturers did call me in for a meeting, but only to offer me a contract as their exclusive partner for luxury customizations. I know I would never have got that if I'd asked for permission first. Although I was born in England, I grew up in Nigeria until I was 11, when I moved back to live with my grandmother in a two-bedroom council flat in Kilburn. My brother and I slept in the living room, and things were very tight. If I wanted anything, I knew it would be down to me to go out and get it. It made me very self-reliant, even after my parents came to Britain when I was 15. After the football tournament, I started a mobile DJ business with my cousins. We all put in £100 to buy the equipment and then charged £250 to DJ at house parties. But the speakers were so big that I needed to buy a car to move them around. The car I wanted cost £2,500, so I calculated that I could get the money together in a month if I worked 9 to 6 at the electrical shop, Tandy's, and then from 7 until midnight at Pizza Hut. I believe anyone can do what I did. Get a couple of jobs, work flat out for a month, and get enough money together to start a small venture. The car meant we could make even more money from the DJing, but I kept a weekend job at Tandy's, which gave me about £500 a month, and I used that money to try out various little schemes, like buying and selling at boot sales. Some months I'd make money, some months I would lose the lot, but I knew at the end of the month I'd have another £500 to play with. All those little businesses I started were my apprenticeship. I made a lot of mistakes, but it didn't matter because I was so young. And now, when I start a business, I think I have a 70% chance of success, because I've already made my mistakes. My family is Nigerian, and it's part of our culture that you want your kids to be a lawyer or a doctor. Being in a profession is a kind of status symbol, and my parents didn't see my schemes as the start of a career. My dad wanted me to be an aeronautical engineer, and even though I didn't know what one was, I went to university to become one. After my first year, I transferred to a sound engineering course. All the time I was at university, I carried on with the mobile DJ business and organized university and club parties at Christmas, Easter, and Valentine's. But I also started what I call my first proper business while I was studying. My aunt was heavily pregnant and couldn't bend to do the housework, so I did her cleaning for her. I did such a good job that she gave me £20. I thought there must be other people who needed a cleaner, so I designed a flyer, distributed 1,000 of them around our neighborhood, and, to my amazement, someone called up. When I turned up on her doorstep, however, she wasn't sure about letting some kid in. I completely understood her reservations, so I went home and put on my dad's suit. I asked my mum for a copy of my passport and a reference, and I also asked my aunt to write me a reference. I went straight back to my potential client and told her that she could read the references. She could see from my passport that I was who I said I was, and if anything got stolen, this was her security. I also made her an offer. I will clean your house free for a week, and if at the end of the week you're happy, then I will charge £20 an hour for a minimum of 2 hours, and if you're not happy, then it won't have cost you anything. So she said yes, and in typical Amozu style, I took off the suit there and then and started cleaning. Had my first contract. I got in touch with the Prince's Trust, and they helped me write a business plan for my cleaning business. I think they were very impressed that a young person not only wanted to start a cleaning business, but already had some clients, and they gave me a grant for £2,000. I used the money to advertise in the Yellow Pages and create a website, and the business grew to 14 clients, half of which were commercial clients, and I employed 2 people I'd got from the job centre. I had a turnover of £2,000 a month. It was the first time I'd had to keep proper accounts, and I quickly learnt that sitting behind a desk and dealing with paperwork is not one of my strengths. I'm good at coming up with ideas, setting things in motion, and building them up. Knowing your strengths and understanding your weaknesses is a very important part of being successful. Wherever I can, I now employ people to do the jobs I know I'm not good at. At 24, I believed I had spotted a massive opportunity to make a business out of mobile ringtones, so I quit university and gave the cleaning business up. It could have been a really big business. People will always need cleaners, and if I'd stuck with it, I think it could be turning over £100,000 a month now, but the people I gave the business to ran it into the ground. It was still the right decision, though, as I was right about the ringtones. My new business turned over £1.6 million in its first year, and was sold for a lot more. What's the best advice you've ever had? My mum always told me that if there's something you want to do in life, don't let anybody stop you. If there's something I really want, I don't care how many people tell me I can't do it, I'll find a way. What do you wish you'd known from the start? You know, I think because I had all those ventures when I was young, I'd figured out what I needed to know about starting a business. What's the one thing you'd say to someone starting their first business? Know your strengths and play to them. Find out what your weaknesses are and find a way of plugging those gaps in your business. If you're forced to do something that you're not good at, it will drive you into the ground. The idea. On Dragon's Den, we see a lot of great ideas, but not many good businesses. Ideas for new businesses broadly fall into 3 categories. Those that solve a problem, those that copy another business, and those spawn from genuine innovation. In my experience, precious few successful businesses fall into the last category. I've never had an original idea,